You're on right now?
I'm on right now, Mike. Yeah.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Welcome back, everyone. I've been playing podcasts and tunes, and Mike was able to get away or whatever he had to do to come on with me.
I was actually at work.
Yeah, so, I know.
Sometimes I have to go to my office and actually see what's going on.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I know you told me you were self-employed, but I didn't know whether that meant an office or at home or what, or both.
No, trucking company, and, you know, we move freight around the country and into the U.S. and out of the U.S. and all those kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
That allows me to play with Steve whenever we get together on the radio.
I've done that before. I've been in the trucking industry twice, so.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's a topic we need to talk about one night.
Yeah. Very underappreciated topic.
Well, you know, it really is. Probably the hardest working people in America, not taking it away from anybody that works hard in the day, but probably very hard working people that are definitely underrated.
Well, people have this misillusion, not a disillusion, but a misillusion that you're just sitting behind the wheel and holding it, and you're not doing anything.
Yeah, that's not quite the case.
It's not quite the case.
That's a part of it, but not very much of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big trick is trying to stay awake.
That's the big trick. Absolutely. And companies that overrun you. But, you know, I try not to do that. I like my guys to get sleep. Uh-huh. Equipment's too expensive and far too nice for that.
Yep.
Were you talking about? I kind of was on the way home and I was trying to tune in.
Well, I was talking about the movements all over the world. You know, there's this, they have the social justice warrior movement. They have the walk away movement, which is walk away from the Liberal Party. And there's this blacks walking away from the Liberal Party, walking away from the Democratic Party, because they are disillusioned and they feel they're being lied to.
You know,
there's the men going their own way movement.
That's another one, yes. And we should discuss about that a bit.
Do you know what that
is? I'd like to go back to the black, democratic, liberal, whatever you want to call it, movement and change that is going on in America. And for many, many years, watching up here from Canada and being involved in very much of American politics, as you know, Steve, this is a good topic for me, politics, because it's right down my alley.
Right.
You know, the black community has followed Democratic Party forever. For what reason? I don't know. That I don't know, but they just always did, and they counted on those votes. But there has been a massive swing. And I'm going to owe this a lot to Candace Owens, who is out there speaking her heart out. She's speaking about no racism, because there is none. She's talking about, you know, black people being, you know, demoralized and shot down and never be taken care of. And I have to agree. You talk to the general populace, black or white. You know, I mean, I'm not talking about gang related, maybe in the major cities or something of that effect. And even then, you know, I've met a lot of people in my life being a white person and never been a racist person. You know, in our country, racism doesn't really seem to happen. And in the common core of the U.S., it doesn't happen either. I think since we talked about it the other night, since Martin Luther King, that changed kind of everything. It seemed to have gone to the wayside lately, because it's thrown in the faces of Americans and Canadians that, you know, everybody's racist. It doesn't matter what you do. But that is not the case. I have a lot of friends in the U.S. that are black, great people. We've never even spoken about white or black. It never even came up as a topic like, hey, this is funny, a white guy hanging with a black guy. I've never heard anything like that.
Right.
You know, it's just something that doesn't happen. We might get a laugh in the trucking industry. We might hang around, hang out for a minute. But it's never been black and white. Now, I'm not saying that everyone is that way. But I think the general population don't see color anymore. I don't think we even see culture as much anymore.
No, they haven't. Because like I mentioned on Sunday, if people were to stop fighting and stop to seeing this racial divide, stop believing in this racial divide, they become irrelevant almost overnight. Within 6 months, they would become irrelevant.
Truly, and I think in a lot of cases it is irrelevant. A lot of the Afro-American people are voting for Donald Trump. They're sick and tired of being used, and nothing happened in favor of them or anybody else for that matter. I do believe that there's certain cultures that have been, you know, mixing it up a little bit, more than a little bit, actually, that, you know, need to have things addressed, and it's not about racism. We look around the world, Australia, conservative. We look at Le Pen the other night, conservative for France. Canada, big changes going on up here. Our Liberal government, wide open doors. It's a threat upon the U.S. It's been discussed, and it is a threat upon U.S. We're having problems up here of a certain community that seem to want to cause a lot of trouble. And they're blatantly causing this trouble, yet they're protected, and it's ignored. And I think that the listeners would probably have to agree with that. And I know on our Canadian side of those listening, which are probably some. Normally, they're late and I have to post it and it doesn't really work as well. But we get a lot of feedback on things that we talk about. At the end of the day, not everybody can live in this world together. And especially when it comes to radical people. And radicalism does not come in just brown people or Muslims. Or Hindus or Sikhs or Chinese or Japanese or any of that, or white people or black people. Terrorists are terrorists. End of story. They don't come in a culture, but there is a culture movement on that. And I think that what we're starting to see in the U.S., and I'm really happy about this, because and it's happening in Canada. I see a lot of black and white people getting together and say, hey, man, this stuff is silly. This is ridiculous. We got to do something about this, man. Like, and actually showing a camaraderie of support for each other. This is a movement that Martin Luther King right now is dancing in the heavens, okay? He is dancing in the heavens saying, you know what, man? It's catching on. It's like a fever. I think that, you know, a lot of people have some poor things to say about Donald Trump. And Steve, you and I have had this discussion many times on the air and off the air. And a lot of our listeners, we all believe that it's just somebody in there. And I believe in that too. But there does come a point sometimes where we have to get past that little nudge that's in us. And we have to say, well, what is he doing for the country? Now, for blacks, whites, Hispanics, anybody, what is Donald Trump doing for the country? Well, I'm a numbers man, as you know. I operate strong business. And at the end of the day, it's all about how much in and how much out. And that's really what it has to be, because if you don't have enough in and you don't have enough out, the employees aren't going to be doing very well at the end of the day. So it's all about that, and it's all about people. And no matter what is said and no matter what goes on, I specifically look at the numbers. And the numbers in America are rising like crazy. Am I saying it's happening in every state? No, it's not. Is it happening in selective states? No, it's not. It's just an uprising of certain areas that are starting to see massive creations in jobs, massive creations in investment into the country, massive investments into the stock market, largest ever of time. Now, I would have cared less if it was a Democrat or a Republican or Independent Party or whoever the heck they might be, as long as they're doing the succession for the United States of America for the United States of America. Now, well, when we talk to wars and that, I don't like war. So
yeah, you know what I see? I see him doing is building back up the upper class, building back up the mega corporations, and sure, middle class people are benefiting from that. What I do see him also doing is, well, the Democratic Party for just forever here in America has always been about trying to destroy the middle class. And the Republicans went along with the program also because they really had to. They can't fight the Democratic system on that. They have to keep their illusion alive. they have to keep their two-party dictatorship alive.
Correct.
But I'm really on the fence about Trump. I still don't trust him, even though he's supposedly done a lot of these things. There are still being illegal wars being fought for oil and other commodities off in the Middle East and other places. They're still being, bombs are being dropped on brown-skinned people illegally.
Yes.
For nefarious reasons. And I've said it from the beginning, Mike. I just don't see government fixing government. And I don't see a billionaire taking money from his rich buddies.
Right. I would have to agree. I would have to agree. And I would have to agree that the upper echelon, yes, is definitely getting its gain. But having said that, it's usually that group. As you know, I worked in the racing industry down there for many years. You know, that group is a group that tries to actually get triggered and back on track to support the middle class and get it going. But and that's okay to support the middle class, but we've forgotten a group of people. And I'm going to agree with you there, that because anything under the middle class, you know, right now still doesn't have a chance. And I'm really, I was going to say something else there, but I'm on radio. So, you know, it seems like that, yes, I have to agree that we should be moving this more to the core and making sure that the middle class are building in succession as well as the lower class. And I hate calling it the lower class because that's the grassroots of our countries. That is the hardcore people that stand together with a massive strength and try to get things done. And we see a lot of poverty there, a lot of poverty. And I think that, you know, I didn't, and I'm going to agree with you here. I didn't mind him going through, you know, getting the higher end, the fortune companies going to try to, you know, push off to the middle class a little bit and try to build middle class business. But I think that there should be some sort of programs within that build that support us, the lower class. I mean, these days, it doesn't take very much money to become part of the lower class. In other words, somebody who makes $75,000 a year in Canada is lower class.
Is that right?
Someone who makes, yes, $100,000 poverty level now. We are so expensive here on everything.
Yeah.
We couldn't even get a trade deal with Donald Trump due to our elusive liberal leader, Justin Trudeau. And Americans say, oh, wow, we wish Justin Trudeau was our president. No, you do not. And I'll tell you, he has wrecked this country. We have no investment into our country whatsoever. People are falling off the scale like crazy. Houses in every single city are for sale, every second house on every street. People cannot afford to survive. I see this every day in my industry. People come in begging for jobs. They come in and they want to cut wages and say, I'll do it for this much money. We just don't have enough for everybody. But a lot of companies are starting to show that reflection as far as trying to get our country kickstarted. And
I've always heard in the democratic socialist countries, like most of Europe and Canada is, that the healthcare is very, 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 very good as long as you don't get very sick.
Yeah, it's really good unless you get really sick, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, usually if we have any type of major operation that has to happen, it's a very long-term deal. Most people die without getting their operation. And that is a thing. Well, everyone thinks that Canada is such this wonderful, glorious place to live. It is not.
The stories have been out there for years and years, even before I even got on the internet, that for the most part, if Canadians really wanted something done in more of a timelier fashion than what their country could do for them, they come down here to America, and they got it done within just a few weeks instead of months and months and months.
You know, you can relatively book a hip replacement, let's say, for elders, and they fly down to the States to get it done. They land on the plane. They go into the city that they're going to. They get a hotel room. They're operated on the next day. they're up and walking, and in a couple of days they're on an airplane.
Two or three days,
home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they can be, for the most part, they can be back home in a week, depending on the operation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it happens. You know, I am, as you know, I am pro-U.S. I always have been. I love the U.S., and you know, I've always wanted to be in the U.S. My kids are up here, but now they're getting older, and I have one left. As a single parent, I have one 14-year-old daughter still with me, and of course, she's growing like crazy. But once they go, you know, I'm Arizona, man. I'm heading her down there, and I'm going to be there until... I need a hip to, you know.
Oh, that's too bad about Arizona, because I can't stand the heat. It's only about 65 degrees here today. I don't know what's that about 25 up there or something like that. But
Something like that. Yeah.
I had to turn the fan off because I'm thinking it's probably a little too noisy for everything. But I had a fan on me for the most part.
And you're sweating up there now.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was just because I came on the air.
No.
But I'm just kidding.
No, I enjoy the cool. I enjoy winter. You know,
me too. I'm not good with heat. And in Alberta here, we're like kind of Arizona. We're kind of in the wintertime, we see you know, it's very cold and dry. And very cold. I'm telling you, it gets cold. And in the winter, we're extremely hot. That goes into global warming, but that's on Sunday. We got a big one with, you know, global warming scientists. This is going to be one heck of a show, and it's going to tell you why it's getting colder and why it's getting hotter. And it has nothing to do with us humans, okay? It has nothing to do with breathing.
No, it never has had anything to do with us humans.
It doesn't have anything to do with us. You know, it is, but, you know, we're going to get onto that Sunday, and that's a big one. I hope everyone tunes in because it's a very important day. And we have top scientists that are now retired that, you know, basically specify this. When we do these types of investigations of scientists of anywhere, they work for the government. That's who funds these programs.
Yeah.
And, of course, they take that information from the scientists, and especially on that state of affairs, and have turned it into something completely irrelevant to what it is. But we'll get on that later. But up in Canada, on the political side, we had a problem, a scandal. Wow, Canada's first massive scandal. It was like amazing. We're like, oh, wow, this is exciting. Everybody's in on it. You know, a scandal with our attorney general of the leadership being asked to coerce with criminal investigations against a company in our country. And
Say that again.
Pardon me. Justin Trudeau is and his government are very under investigation of the Lavalin CNC company, which he asked our attorney general if she would switch the books and let these people down on these criminal charges. And of course, she wouldn't do it. She didn't cross the line. So there's been a big scandal up here. Trudeau's numbers are dropping like flies, which we're very happy about. But we have a conservative party up here, which would be, you know, like your Republican Party.
Right.
In Andrew Scheer, who's a weak now we call a libcon. We're not sure if he's left or right. We're kind of getting
he's a neocon.
we call him the libcons up here. He's a neocon, though. You're right.
It's the same thing. Right. It's the same characterization.
Same deal. You know, we just have a little bit of a different word because, I don't know, for some reason in Canada, the rest of the world calls it something, and we have to make up our own. I guess it's to make us look smart or something. I'm not sure. But I find it kind of phony and crazy, you know. But he's involved in this scandal. Now, the woman who was in charge has now decided just yesterday or the day before and stated that she is now going to run independent. Now, of course, all the women, because she told the truth, all the people seem to be turning towards Jody and saying that up here we call our politicians by their first name. We don't use the whole name. Everybody knows what we're talking about. There's no people here, so we you know, it doesn't take much. You know, Justin? Yeah, Justin Trudeau. Yeah.
Everybody knows everybody,
so,
yeah?
we don't really know everybody, but you know, it's just a different country up here as far as the people.
Uh-huh.
And so I said very much on my live show, on my own and my live Facebook stuff, you know, that we got to be very careful about Jody because everyone's going to be starting to vote for her because she told the truth. Well, it would be the first politician on one particular situation that someone actually told the truth. So
yeah, I'm there is another time. There is another time that a politician tell the truth. Do you know when that is?
You know, I think it's by the light of the moon, though. Generally, when they're not on TV in the caucus. Yeah, I'm thinking so.
No, when a politician tells the truth, it's when they call each other liars.
That's so true. And that's worldwide. But we see a conservative movement around the world. You know, we're seeing it in Australia, and people are starting to call things out. And racism is the biggest word in the air today, that, you know, if you say anything, you're racist. Does not matter. If you look up Tommy Robinson on Facebook, you're deleted. But you don't even get to know who Tommy Robinson is because they delete your page on you. There's been a complete overriding of Zuckerberg and as well as Twitter and some other social media platforms as well. And it's very, very controlled. And it seems like, you know, when people text each other, let's just say, when you send a text to someone and you send it to five different people, every single one of them take it differently. We never think of the person writing the text. So if I was getting a text from Steve, which I do a lot, I think it's Steve, and I think of Steve, and I think, okay, Steve, yeah, I get it, and we can have a civil conversation. But if somebody else looks at the text, they may take that completely different, and that's the reason why, is because we don't consider the person we're talking to. So it could be a happy, happy person, and something looks kind of negative in the text, and it starts a fight. I mean, there's been wars over texts that people took the wrong way. Anyway, back to the politics. I have a feeling that Jody's going to have some success in succession, but we got to remember that she was the Attorney General, and he has changed a lot of bills up in Canada that, quite frankly, are disgusting bills. And it makes criminals in certain realms actually waived from what they've done. And this has to do in child abduction, pedophilia, abuse to women, these types of things to being lesser charges. And of course, the country's outraged, but they own the House. So just like down there, you know, if the Democrats own the House, then, you know, we think we can get along. Now, they're not getting along because they own the House. When I look at somebody like Nancy Pelosi, this is what this Jody lady's like. Now, she's very nice, and she's very smart, but she's still a liberal, and she still signed the bills that he changed. And we have to be very careful of that up in Canada, because we don't want to be clouded by someone told the truth. Everyone's supposed to tell the truth. We're supposed to tell the truth all the time. It's a very difficult procedure these days, because everything's built based on lies. So we get very upset with that. I'm very scared of this woman up here as being a neighbor to the U.S.
Yeah.
That we don't become a threat to the U.S.
I have I have a feeling that you're talking about with this scandal. They might just be preparing the people for another face change in the puppet.
In the puppet. And you know what? You know, we mentioned that on Sunday, and I thought about that a lot, Steve, for the last couple of days. And I thought, you know what? You're right. You know, there's always got to be someone in there mixing something up. But at the end of the day, in the past, at least we got a bit of governing done. And I really feel bad for the American people in a situation where America's been dragged to. And yes, it has to do with China, and it has to do with the Middle East, and it has to do with Russia, and, you know, I mean, it has to do with a bunch of things. But we always governed to a point. You know what I mean? Like a little bit, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're not.
Now it's a circus show.
That's another show.
It's a circus show, which could be another show.
It's a complete circus. Yeah. You know, like, it's like, oh my goodness, you should put a little red noses on you and jump around with your big boots and you know, become a clown, because exactly. And you know, the American people, they need to see some things done. And there's been no governing in the House for quite some time, and I would have concerns about that. One thing I am concerned about as well is that I'm very afraid of the public in the U.S. exploding, because Americans are very patriotic, and this is what I'm going to give them every single
exploding
day.
Exploding in what
time.
Way?
Pardon me?
Exploding in what way?
in a way of losing control through a public and saying enough is enough. And I do see it. I mean, we see it on the liberal agenda. I don't know quite where they're at. You know, I was talking with my son the other night. He's 32 years old, and he's a complete liberal. He's just a complete liberal. And I said, you know, I don't want to talk politics around the house anymore because, you know, the disease
has
spread into my own family. So
does he have children?
Pardon?
Does he have children?
No.
Yeah, that's why he's still liberal.
Yeah, he just doesn't get it, you know. So, and you know, we would start to go, and he'd start to argue the point and go, okay, politics away from the table. Now, having said that, in Canada, we have never spoken politics, and we do not speak religion. Here you can have any religion you want to have. We don't criticize it. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about Catholics or Christians or
yet.
We don't do it. We just don't talk about it.
Not yet.
Now it's coming. Now we have a situation with a certain group of people that are coming to cause a lot of problems in our country. And it's really exploding. I don't like to labelize anybody, but you know, I just say a threat upon our country.
Well, yeah. And you know, for the most part, most of the people around the world, except for these people that you're talking about, don't take kindly to marrying 9-year-old girls, or
6-year-old ones,
or 6-year-old ones, or whatever the case is. Yeah.
Yeah,
they don't take kindly to murdering their daughters because their daughter didn't do what their father said. Didn't or she happened to look at another boy that wasn't her father or her brother.
Yeah.
Or talk to a boy.
And then they're dead.
Yeah.
And we're accepting this.
Yeah.
We're accepting this.
Well,
because,
yes,
because
exactly.
We don't have the fight, Steve. A friend of mine was on the show the other night. I'll just give you an example. And he said this. And I'm not going to go into the biblical thing again because, you know, sometimes you do. But he made the statement. And he said, you know, when Noah closed the gate. Okay, let's see about the story. Okay, let's just say. So Noah's closing the gate, and all the people that were against all these terrible people were saying, please, please,
we
you know, we're the good people.
Yes.
But he still closed the gate. And why did he close the gate? Because we turned a blind eye and did not fix it. So we are all just as guilty. I thought, wow, that's a pretty powerful statement for a guy that's not really
we turned a blind
biblical
eye
per se, but
I'm not sure what that means. Noah turned a blind eye. Noah, allegedly, Noah knew that he couldn't take these people because they were heathens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were. So it was a good point. Like, you know, I never had it hit with me, and I thought, wow, that's a pretty powerful statement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the guy that I was on doesn't have very other many good statements, but that was a good one. So, you know, it's kind of like telling the truth. You know, one time you really get a good one and go, wow, I can't believe that came out of your mouth. But that's okay. He's still a friend and I still enjoy, but we just don't talk about those things because I usually get a little frustrated with it. But
right.
I do will say this. You know, that is a problem that we really need to pay special attention to. And if not, like Ronald Reagan said, on his last statement, I've said this a few times on the air. If we lose America, and I mean in North America, if we lose America, there is no place to go.
What's your interpretation of losing America? You've said that a couple times now.
Well, you know, losing America to people that want to cause destruction against the American people.
Well, that's already been a foregone conclusion for many, many decades.
Right, but
I feel
is ramping up now.
Yeah, well, the allegedly we've been under martial law since 1865.
I was going to say
1865.
Just before they started to do things in 1867.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a fact, and I would have to agree. Yeah,
and I think it. Well, you know that their own writings, their own think tanks have thought this out 200 years ago. Mm-hmm. the Communist Manifesto, or not so much a manifesto, but the manifesto written by Albert Pike. He laid out point by point what needed to be done to conquer a nation. And it's been implemented in North America, not just America, but Canada also, for the last 160 plus years.
Yes.
Well, it was, you know, I think it was in the 1840s when Albert Pike wrote his book, Morals and Dogma.
And you know what? Is it not exactly what's happening today?
Sure.
He must have been a time traveler. No, he's got some common sense and figuring out, man, it's just going that way.
He was just a man that was part of a think tank that influenced the elites, influenced the powerful people, and he wrote in a book, like others have wrote in a book, like Edward Bernays, Bertrand Russell. They've all written books on how to conquer societies. Mm-hmm. That's basically what they've been implementing for the last 150 years. There was part of their white papers, as it's called. Their writings.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, anyway. Exactly. I lost my train of thought, so maybe if I get
I'm sorry.
Back. No, that's I'm okay. Sorry. It wasn't you. It was me. I started babbling and lost it. But if I get it back, I'll say something.
You'll get it back. I want to switch just for a moment, and I came on late, so I had lots to say about this because I did look at the information you sent to me because I hadn't heard about it. And this is called males walking away from females. Because of everything that's going on in the hashtag poor me, the women's rights, you know, everything that's going on, I think that men, heterosexual men, I got to be careful how I say that anymore because some people take offense to it, are really kind of getting fed up. And I do believe that they're really getting fed up. These agendas that are in our way, it's hard to have a regular life with a woman.
Sure they are, but you know what that's actually doing? These movements that I played quite a few videos before you came on
about, I was watching a couple too.
About these movements. Mm-hmm. These movements are starting a new wave of the power structure gaining more control. These movements are promoting victimhood, basically, is what they are doing.
Yeah.
The system has always been about victimhood, but it's splintering off and making it worse, making the fight even worse.
Yes. It's you know, I spoke about this the other night in Canada and on Facebook. The worst thing that ever happened to Facebook were groups.
Yeah.
Because it caused even more of a divide.
Sure.
It just got everybody arguing because I'm a son. Look, there's these guys up here that are called the Sons of Odin. And of course, they have a king and a queen. And they actually do the whole thing like hail and all that stuff. I'm like, oh my goodness, come on. Like, grow up. This is all in part and parcel of fame. And I made the other night a statement. I said, look, all of a sudden, everyone's become a political advisor. No disrespect to any job, okay? I'm just going to pick one. I've been a shipper receiver all my life, and I retired. Now I'm going to tell everybody how to run the country. It's kind of an oxymoron. People have become political advisors that don't even know what they're talking about. Like, I listened to some of them talk and saying, that's not even the way politics works. I'm not saying if it's right or wrong, but can we first find out how politics work and then find out what we have to do to come against those measures? Is the public ever going to be able to make a choice? Well, since the start of time, I would have to say no. Unless we have full eruptions in countries. I'm very excited about Le Pen, who wasn't going to run anymore in France, coming in for France, because France, that used to be such a beautiful place to go visit, is now literally
it's on fire.
it's
they're embroiled in revolution. Yeah.
Yes, and then somebody makes a statement in our Canadian government that's of a different belief, let's just say, that we better be careful that we don't have something happen in the Montreal.
Well, it's all coming. It's all coming.
Church.
It all hits.
And it was a strong suggestion. And I was really taken back by, why didn't the House fight it?
Everything hits Europe first, and then it comes to America.
It does. And you know what? It that's what it does. It comes to America. But you know who's the last ones on the block?
Canadians.
Us guys. We're like way out to lunch, man. Like I talk to people and go, really, man? You think that? Like, do you know anything about the States? Yeah, well, you know, the States are kind of like, I'm like, whoa, man, chill out. I see these guys on, Thundercats.
Well, they see everything on TV and they believe it.
They actually believe it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, oh my, I was watching CNN. Okay, that's the wrong topic right now. I'm not even going to talk to you. I don't even want to hear what they said. And I tell people that. I don't even want to hear it. Yeah, they'll say, well, Mike, just let me tell you.
They're the most trusted news source.
Yeah, they sure are. Yeah.
That's what their slogan
I'll tell
is.
What they're trusted on.
That's what
they're
their slogan
on for sure. There's going to be fake news.
That's what their slogan
that's
is,
for
though.
Sure.
That's what their slogan is, though.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah, because they think that subliminal message is actually going to sink into somebody's head.
And Fox News is unbiased.
Yeah. I laugh my head off. I think one, Fox has had to go completely to the extreme because it's the only opposition news, if you will. But I think they're all very far to each side. And it's just become a far right, far left argument. And there's no neutralism. And
well,
it seems to have gone very away.
You and I can remember a time, and some of the listeners can also. There was a time where, you see, today there is no news anymore. There's a left slant and then there's a right slant. There is no news anymore. There is opinions.
Yeah, that's it. And it's a one-minded opinion.
Well,
it's not even a network.
The anchor is
their opinion, which we can never get to resolve that way.
Yeah, I remember when Walter Cronkite and what are some of the other old guys that aren't alive anymore? They sat there at a desk and they had papers in front of them and they read what the news was.
That's what they do. You know, everyone said, "Geez, at one time the news used to be real honest." We talked about this the other night.
Uh-huh.
And then what happened, Steve? How far back does the news go to be asked being honest? You tell me.
How far back does it go?
Yeah, who a leader came out and said, "I'm asking the news to be honest on this."
Hard telling, but I know when the exact point was when it changed.
At JFK?
Yeah, November 22nd, 1963.
You got it.
That's when
it
changed.
And he said in the release
that
documents.
The day he was murdered, they had 24-hour coverage. And they had literally millions and millions of watchers.
Completely.
At their beck and call.
America was torn.
Well, the world was torn. The world news was torn.
Yeah,
the world news torn. ceased to exist right there because they seen the use for 24-hour news.
Yes.
And it took them another 16, 17 years for CNN to come in and CNN was the first one, and then all the others came in after that, and they've been nothing but, what's the word I'm looking for, social engineers ever since then.
Absolutely, I'd have to agree with you 100%. But Kennedy did say, "I'm asking the news to be honest on this," and the next day he was dead.
Yeah.
So then Reagan came in, and he was doing his thing. And they tried to get him to. And now Trump is here. And he's trying to do it again. And, well, we can't predict and foresee the future. But in some cases, for me, it's scary up here as a Canadian. And thinking that, you know what, if we lose you guys, and we can't lose you guys, man. We cannot do it. We do not survive without America. With the United States of America, Canada does not survive. And we have a bonehead in our in our area saying, I stood tough on Trudeau, on Trump. And I told this guy went and was tough on everybody in the world, and nobody wants to speak to him. We're selling none of our products. Our country is in total dismay. Financially, yeah. It's a mess.
I wanted to make a clarification. I wasn't trying to say that the media back in the 60s were reliable or good. Because, you know, they had their papers in front of them back reading the news back then, but the news media today just has teleprompters and they're doing the same thing.
Yes.
They're just repeating what their masters tell them is news.
Right. Well, that's, I think, been going on for a long, long time. And as you say, and I think that, you know, I don't even know what to say on social media when we were very honest. And this is what this whole social media, as you've tagged onto in the past quite a bit, that if it wasn't for the internet, we would never get our voices out. And we would never be allowed to talk like we're talking right now. There would be a dialect, and that's where you go, and it ends there. So what we see is a lot of fake stuff. When we see what's going on in Europe, let's look at what's going on in the UK with Brexit. You know, they changed laws and said that this would be the very final time we could actually vote on it. And of course, the system there thinking that never would the right actually win and succeed at this vote. And they did. They succeeded. And then Theresa May has to stand down. Macron in France beat. Trudeau going down hard. But we got another liberal coming up that people trust because, again, she told the truth. Yikes. The first time ever. And people are so complacent and want to believe because we want to believe that our governments are taking care of us.
Yes, that's called cognitive dissonance.
Yes, and so I'm very concerned about that. You know, I mean, we're a little older, Steve. We worry about our kids. We worry about, you know, their kids. We worry about what's going on. You know, as I, you know, I'm a citizen of Northern Ireland. I worry very much about what's happening in Ireland and Northern Ireland, and very scared. You know, it's just I've never seen so much destruction worldwide. As we see today. And I know it's been escalating since the start of time, but I thought that we were smart enough not to allow it to go so far. And it's gone almost completely out of control, but there is a right-wing movement going on all over the world. And I hope that I know that Le Pen is going to start cleaning up France right away. I heard the other night her talking and she's like, she's putting her foot down. They've got to get their country back on track. It's an S-hole, just like Trump said, some of these countries that are just that. And it seems that Europe has become that. Western culture, the attack on Western culture. You know, there's a lot of people that are nationalists that come to these countries around that are nationalists. They abide by the laws. They try to get by. They use every loophole we have, mind you, but they're allowed to. So we can't condemn that one because we can do the same thing if we so choose. But I just get so flustered on what's going on and thinking, you know, what do my kids have if we're going to be changing all this stuff? I talk to kids at the schools from 13 years old to 17 years old, have more to say than the people of the post-millennials, let's say. The post-millennials just don't care. And they just say, well, we want to see it. Okay, well, we're seeing it. I don't know. We haven't seen enough of it yet.
The post-millennials are more easily awakened. They can see through most of the BS that a lot of other people can't.
Well, and they're quiet about it, right? They don't say anything until it comes to the ballot.
Yeah.
That's where you notice that, you know what, the sleeping giant awakens type thing. We're in a big big mess because we got so many people running political now. We don't know which way to go. We got the Green Party, we got the People's Party, we got the Independent Party, we got the Liberal Party, we got the Conservative Party. Like, oh my God, it's who's going to come up next before? And no campaign going on this time. We're 4 months away from election in Canada, and no one's spoken about anything. Like, there's no fight. There's no, you know, big buildup to it. Who's going to lead the Democratic Party? Who's going to, you know, it's always exciting to watch American politics because so much goes on, you know, and it's literally exciting. So, and up here, we're just boring. Nothing's going on. It's, you know, we're trying to get it going, but no, people don't want to get involved because we're in a country that doesn't talk about politics and religion. Like, if you sit in a bar or you sit at dinner and they go, wow, you know, have you seen what happened to Trudeau? Oh, no, don't talk politics, man. Okay. And, or somebody says, wow, is that church? You're like, okay, no religion at the table. And then all of a sudden we get a political religious movement and we try to spread the word and go, no, man, I'm not going there. So it's really tough to get anything done in Canada because people just don't want to talk about it. But we calling it across Canada right now the blue wave, which is the conservative wave. All the provinces up here are seemingly going blue. They're tired of the Liberals. They're tired of their agendas. And it's the last generation that was tired of it when we were tired of it. And it seemingly is our kids. And they're starting to say, yeah, you know what? No way. We're not going to have that. So now it comes down to the point of who do we have as a conservative in Canada? We got a guy named Maxime Bernier, another big split that came off the Conservative Party. I'm calling the party completely corrupt. Well, we knew that forever. But finally, a politician is saying something about it. And you go and you mention everybody, well, I'm thinking of voting for Maxime Bernier. Oh, my goodness, the Conservatives come all over you. It's like a mad attack on Facebook and Twitter. Like, are you crazy? What are you thinking? Well, hold on a minute. I don't think anybody's thinking. Is anybody even listening? Because I haven't heard the Conservative government even say anything. So we go on hope. And these types of battles are never won on hope. We have to be educated. We have to get involved. And you have to actually get out and vote. Justin Trudeau won his vote on 37% of the country voted. 37% of the country voted. And he won 33% of it. So nobody, really. We only have 36 million, and only probably 18 million are legal to vote. So it goes to tell you, everyone went, oh, it's voting day.
You have that many illegals?
Let's go to the bar.
You have that many illegals in your country?
Yes. Listen to this one. Listen to this one. He said one day, he says, we brought in 680,000 migrants in the last 4 years based on the UN agreement. Okay. So that's cool. We know that that's wrong. It's all lies. We know it's much larger. But the very next day, he says, we have opened up the doors for the new immigrants that have come into the country and allowing the 3 million to vote. Hold on. Yesterday it was 600 grand. Today it's 3 million. Uh-huh. Same guy, same mouth, same person. And Canadians still don't get it. They go, oh, yeah, 3 million. Well, there's not that many of us up here, so we got to be very careful. And we become a threat on the U.S. That's what happens. For 153 years, we have been the most secured border that the U.S. could ever have. We were so trusted, Steve. So trusted. And at the end of the day, we're not so trusted anymore. And that's very sad. And we're not only an unprotected border to the Americans, we're also an unprotected border to Russia. There's no fences around us.
All right.
We don't do anything.
Right.
You know, So when the Americans go to war, the Canadian Army's in there. We're ground crew. We go in there and we do our stuff on the ground and the Americans do everything in the air and a few of your ground guys come in and we've always had a camaraderie. We don't have the same camaraderie anymore because of our government. And that's a very sad situation because we want to be trusted. And we want America to succeed because we succeed when America succeeds, and it hasn't been succeeding. And the roll off to that is that we are not succeeding either. And that's the biggest fear. So I'm hoping that 2020 goal correctly for America, whatever side it goes on, and whatever happens. But I think that there should be a law where, you know, in Canada, you can only run for, you know, in America, you can only run for, you know, 2 terms. And that's it. You're not allowed to run anymore, as you know, you do your 8 years and off you go.
That's in the presidency, not in the Congress or the Senate.
Yeah, no, not in the Congress or Senate. Exactly. Just in the presidency. In Canada, I mean, you can run for 40 years, and as long as people vote for you, they still keep you in.
Uh-huh.
I like the American way better.
Look at the elder Trudeau. He had it for a long time, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he had a one-termer, and then he came back and won again. Like a term after.
The old man Trudeau?
Yeah. Yeah, he was beat up once, and then he came back again, and then he was there for, I don't know how many years, 11 years or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Chomping away at the bit, riding his little swastika motorcycle, giving everybody the finger through the window, real respect, you know, and basically to the people. Now we get things happening where young Trudeau, has to run to his car because people are all over him here, and they're calling him some pretty serious names, and people are getting thrown on the ground by police to protect him. And I said, well, you know, the other night, you can't go up to his car. You can't go to any leader's car in the world, man.
Right.
You just don't do that.
Right.
If you do that, someone's
no, you get unloaded on.
Yeah, they don't know what you're going to do.
You get submachine guns. Sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes I get rolling, and I hope everybody's not bored. But the it is such a strange time in our world. And the planet itself, as Barry and I talk about lots, it's not even the threat of humans. There's so many things going on with volcanoes. Like we've mentioned a few times, Stephen, we always say it. Tectonic plates, the movement of the earth, what we're taking out of the ground, new technologies that are not being used. Everyone's saying everyone's got to go electric. Well, no, everyone's kind of got to go a little different route. They're already doing some major, major advances. And unfortunately, gas cars are not going away very soon. We've got hydrogen working now and all sorts of things going that produce clean air. But they always blame it on the car. And that's such a minor little part of it. Like, it's like, I don't know, 0.9% or something. I don't know the exact number, but it's so tiny. But they target those things, and then that's all we hear. So we're not really educated on what's going on. And as Barry said, you know, we were on one night, just Barry and I with you, and we were talking about that. The world needs carbon.
Oh, yes.
And it needs more carbon because there's more people breathing, you know, the O2. So
The answer is to stop deforestation. Plant more trees.
Exactly. We made a machine up here in Canada. A friend of mine's invented it. You'd never have to cut down another tree again.
Uh-huh.
You'd have 100% protein right off the hop, which in one sequence, boom, it's done from a wet plant to a dry plant in 3 minutes. He gets it separated into 7 or 8 different things. Even in the bark, he makes 100% cotton from a green plant. So, you know, all of these things are attainable.
From
and
hemp?
Then my buddy with the hemp box I told you about.
Okay, yeah.
The power box. I said, well, you don't have to plug it
well,
in.
Well, it's not cotton. It's not really cotton, though. It's clothing made out of hemp.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it feels and does the duty of cotton, and it feels like cotton, and you put it in your hand and say, gee, that's cotton, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's not cotton, but it does the same thing as cotton. So we have all this technology, on Shaziz Radio, we were talking about it too. And, you know, we have so much technology that it does not matter. It does not matter what we throw at this planet and what the planet throws at us. We're sustainable. We're fine. We have
enough
technology to take care of all of that.
This planet doesn't need saving at all.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. No, it doesn't need saving at all. There's nothing to save. It is what it is. And on Sunday, that's going to be a great talk, because I'm really excited about that. And it's going to explain everything. And these are government people that did all of this scientific work for the government that have turned this into just a charade. So We'll see what happens with that. I hope the listeners are in. We'll be pumping it big in Canada to get on the show and listen to this one, like, very heavily. And as well as all of our American friends and our friends over in Europe, it's very important that we come on and we talk about this. And I'm doing a trip to Europe this year. So I'm going over because I want to see it for myself. I'm part of the one I want to see. So
uh-huh.
I'm going to be over there reporting live, Steve. I'll be coming and talking to you guys. Well, from.
I wish I had the money to go somewhere.
You should come with me.
I wish I had the money to go anywhere.
Why don't you
have a passport. I have a passport.
Well, come with me.
I don't have money.
Well, that's okay. Don't worry about that. Nobody asked you for money. We'll just go. We'll write it off as radio or something to that effect. We'll do something with it. But we should go, and we should go live, and we should talk to our listeners.
We should start a community also.
Absolutely.
People can start their own communities.
Yeah. No. It's
self-sufficient communities.
Correct. Good. I'm just on the air 1 minute. You want to meet me out back? Okay, thanks. I just had a guy show up at my door.
We've ran over about 30 minutes, so that's fine.
I'm sorry. I get blabbing sometimes. I know. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's quite fine.
And I hope the listeners weren't bored. But, there's so much to go over, and sometimes we get going. So, we should be going on more every week here as we kind of discussed and coming on a more continual basis and trying to get news. And the listeners, send in, please. Please send in some things that you would like us to talk about so we can investigate it and try to get an honest, clean opinion, impartial on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And we should talk about it because our listeners are pretty regular listeners. Like when I go on to see, it's the same people listening all the time. It's all of us guys. We're all in there.
Yep.
And I comment on other people's shows too. I'm just part of the audience at that point. And that's a lot of fun too, because you know that I follow some of your people. That come on and we've had some people on and we should be doing more of that. We should get us all together and get on there and have these chats and I do call in up in Canada and I'm going to get us set up with a system down there where our listeners can call in, Steve, toll free.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And they can call in and we can say, hey, your Bill from wherever and Jim went forever or Sandra from wherever.
Yep.
And we'd like to hear your opinions live. Come on the radio.
Yep. Exactly.
It's okay. Don't worry, everyone. It's not scary.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of fun, actually.
You know what I find? On the regular AM and FM radio station, the talk radio, there are literally thousands of people that try to call in. But you get on the internet and people clam up. They don't want to, they just want to listen.
Let's change that.
Yeah.
For the ones who want to call in. Is Annie in the room?
Yes, she is.
Hi, Annie. I always say hi to Annie because I talk to her. She's so nice. She's such a sweetheart. I just love her to death.
And we're
She's
on
a real tough one. Yep, I love her to death. And so sorry if I'm embarrassing you, Annie. But
we're on Shake and Wake.
Right now. Shake and Wake. We're on Shake and Wake, and I love Shake and Wake. And we're going to start doing some shows over there too, Steve, right?
Annie's given me permission to take it.
Yeah, we want to go do it. And I want to get her on the air, too. I think people need to hear her story. I really want her to come on the air.
Uh-huh.
I've been nudging her lately and saying, you're going to come on the air. So I think that people need to hear her story. And I think they need to hear who she is. She's a wonderful, wonderful girl. And I hope that, we can make some things happen for her down there with Shake and Wake. And I love that side, too. That's a lot of fun that we're part of that.
Yep.
Well,
so I think we probably ought to end here.
All right.
I know
Thanks
my supper
for having me on, Steve.
I know my dinner's going to be here in a little bit, so I don't want to be eating while we're talking. I know you have stuff to do too.
Yeah, I know. It's all good. Well, thanks for having me on, buddy, and everyone. Thanks for listening, and I guess we'll see you guys another time.
Well, at least Sunday.
Sunday.
We'll both be back Sunday and hopefully next Tuesday also.
Yep. Next Tuesday. We're Tuesday and Sunday from now on. Barry's still going to be working in the mower, so it looks like he asked me if we'd fill in for him for a few more weeks, maybe the summer.
Probably.
He's making some good money, and that's good. And I've been talking to him recently,
he's up there
working away.
He was gone about 6-7 weeks last year, so it's probably going to be about the same this year.
About the same this year, yeah. So we'll come on and try to entertain you the best we can.
All right. So, good night, everyone. Till next time.